Good morning. The first lesson is found in Daniel 9, starting with verse 1. In the first year of Darius, son of Xerxes, a Mede by descent, who was made ruler over the Babylonian kingdom, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures, according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. So I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer and petition, in fasting and in sackcloth and ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed, Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commandments, we have sinned and done wrong. We have been wicked and have rebelled. We have turned away from your commands and laws. We have not listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, and our ancestors, and to all the people of the land. The word of the Lord. The psalm for today is Psalm 18, verse 1 and 30 through 36. I love you, Lord, my strength. As for God, his way is perfect. The Lord's word is flawless. He shields all who take refuge in him. For who is God beside the Lord? And who is the rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and keeps my way secure. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He causes me to stand on the heights. He trains my hands for battle. My arms can bend a bow of bronze. You make your saving help my shield, and your right hand sustains me. Your help has made me great. You provide a broad path for my feet so that my ankles do not give way. The word of the Lord. The second lesson is found in the book of Romans, chapter 8, verses 28 through 30. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son, so that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And having chosen them, he called them to come to him. And having called them, he gave them right standing with himself. And having given them right standing, he gave them his glory. The word of the Lord. Please stand for the reading of the gospel.
This is the Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter. Beginning at the 15th verse, glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, but Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus replied, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. And at this time, I'm going to invite Mike to come forward. He's got a short message for our youth and kids. Yeah, sure.
Meet you. All right, well, we're going to talk about heaven. What is heaven? It's where God is, right? And I know all of us would want to be there someday, right? Raise your hand if you want to be in heaven someday. Well, at least half of you guys want to be. That's good. Now, a lot of times people think, if I just go into a church building, I'll get into heaven someday. But that's not the case, right? That's where you learn about how to get to heaven. Well, what about, you know, in our today and day and age, we have a lot of technology, and we have these really fast airplanes. Can you fly to heaven in an airplane? No. Okay, well, maybe not an airplane, but can you maybe go to heaven in a rocket ship? Can you get to heaven? But they go all the way in space. No, you can't get to heaven in a rocket ship. The only way to get to heaven is through Jesus, right? Wow, isn't that cool? Yeah. Here, can you take that? You can have that. So what is a sin? Do you know what a sin is, Valerie? What does it mean to sin? If you disobey your parents, that's called a sin, right? Or if you're mean to your brother or sister, or you say something mean to them, that's a sin. And those sins, that means we're disobeying God. Now, in our reading today, I want to read from you guys from John 14, verses 15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Do you know who said that? Jesus said that. Jesus says, if you really love me, you'll keep my commandments. So is it a good thing to obey our parents if they ask us to clean our room, even if we don't really feel like it? Have you ever had that problem? Yeah, I know I have. My wife says I have to clean my room still. And I'm like, ugh. But I do it because I want to listen to her and I want to listen to my parents. I know growing up that can be hard sometimes, but that's really important. And if you love, how do you spend time with Jesus? Do you know? You're doing it right now, right? We're spending time with Jesus. What is another way to spend time with Jesus? Read your Bible. What is another way? Do you guys know what this means? To pray, right? And all those things that we do is obeying God. And that's really important for us because the more we obey God, the more we're going to look like his son, Jesus. And we're going to be able to be used by him for amazing things in this world, like telling our friends about Jesus, okay? I'm going to say a quick prayer, and then we're going to go to children's church, all right? So let's fold our hands and bow our heads and listen, okay? Dear Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for our sins so we can go to heaven someday. Please help us to listen to our parents and our teachers and our families. And also, Lord, most importantly, to listen and obey you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. All right, where's Jolynn? Okay, let's go that way. Let's go, guys. All right, let's go. Come on.
That's cool. Tough act to follow, Mike. Thanks a lot, buddy. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, if that wasn't enough, I'm going to take a big risk today. I'm going to use a word that as soon as most people in our culture today hear it, their mind just slams shut immediately. It seems like once they hear this word, they just don't hear anything else. And I'm hoping and praying by the power of the Holy Spirit that that doesn't happen to you. The word I'm talking about is obedience. I think one of the great misunderstandings about the Christian life is that somehow obedience to God is some kind of a burden. I think even today, a lot of people imagine God standing in heaven with some kind of a clipboard, just hoping for us to make a mistake so that he can smite us. They picture the commandments as chains that restrict our freedom and that can rob us of our joy. They think of obedience as drudgery, some kind of a duty to be suffered or endured. But that's not at all the way Scripture describes obedience. The Bible teaches us that obedience is not what causes God to love us. It's the result of our love for God. And so obedience isn't slavery. It's not legalism. It's not some kind of an attempt to earn God's favor. Quite the opposite. Obedience is simply love in action. And I really like that idea of love is that, and obedience is just, it gets us past this idea that love is just some kind of warm, fuzzy feeling that we have. It helps us remember that love isn't a passive verb, it's an action verb. And in that gospel reading, Jesus says it very plainly, "If you love me, keep my commands." And you'll notice what he didn't say here. Jesus didn't say, "If you want me to love you, keep my commands." He didn't say, "Obey me so you can earn your salvation." He just simply said, "If you love me, keep my commands." So our love comes first, and then our obedience follows. Now, actually, that's not quite right, is it? What comes before everything else is God's love for us. 1 John 4:19 says, "We love each other because God loved us first." And so if God doesn't love us first, I just don't see any way for us to love God, let alone love each other. It just won't happen. Once we get this idea that God loves us first through our head, then the whole idea of our love of God coming as a response, it's a response to the saving, forgiving love that God has already showed us, we can start to make some sense of that idea. And so today I want us to look at those four passages that Yvonne read, and then in the process discover three solid truths about loving God through our obedience. And the first thing that we're going to discover is that how love actually changes our attitude about obedience. We get a hint of that in that passage from Daniel chapter 9. And in this passage, the prophet offers a very powerful prayer of confession. Daniel recognizes that the people of Israel have rebelled against God. He writes, "We have sinned and done wrong. We've been wicked and have rebelled. We've turned away your commands from your commands and laws." And so you notice here that Daniel is identifying the real heart of Israel's problem. The problem isn't that they've just merely turned their back on God, that they broke the rules. their real issue, their real problem, is that they've turned away from this God who has loved them. And I think every parent understands this. When a child disobeys, the deepest hurt that we feel isn't from the broken rule. The deepest hurt is the broken trust. That relationship where trust is broken. And God's concern all through the Bible has always been about relationship and that trusting relationship that he wants to have with his people. Throughout the Old Testament, just remember how often God rescued Israel, provided for Israel, protected Israel, guided Israel on their journey to the promised land. But yet the people repeatedly turned away from him. And they turned away from him because obedience had somehow become disconnected from love. And I think if we're not careful, the same thing can happen to us. We can come to church, we can read our Bibles, we can engage in ministry activity, but if our hearts aren't focused on God, this obedience can start to begin to feel like a chore. But when love enters the picture, everything changes. Think for just a minute about a newly married couple. You know, nobody has to force them to spend time together. Nobody has to remind them to call each other. Nobody has to create some kind of rule framework for them to be thinking about each other. Love changes what might feel like a duty into something that we just want to do. And the same goes for our relationship with God. When we genuinely love God, obedience just ceases to be an obligation, and it becomes a privilege, something that we actually long to do. When love is present, obedience is no longer a word that makes our mind slam shut. And thanks be to God for that. So the first truth that we get from today's readings is that love changes our whole attitude toward obedience. Rather than obeying out of fear of punishment, we choose now to act in ways that please God. And so love becomes more than just a feeling. It spurs us into positive action. The second truth that we get from these readings today is that love creates trust in God's ways. Boy, and we see this in that psalm. Psalm 18 begins with one of the simplest and most beautiful statements in all of Scripture. And we just get this sense that David really understood that he could trust in God's ways. That first sentence in Psalm 18 is so great. I love you, Lord, my strength. So simple, yet so powerful. And then later in the psalm, David goes on and he writes, as for God, his way is perfect. And so here we're seeing that David's obedience grew out of confidence in God's character. He trusted that God's ways were actually better than his own ways. And so I think what this is telling us is that sometimes our struggle with obedience really ends up being kind of a struggle with trust. God says we're to forgive. We feel like we want revenge. God says be generous. We say maybe it's better right now for me to tight fist it. I've got some bills coming up. God says wait. We want immediate answers. In those moments, obedience really becomes a kind of a test of trust. Does God really know what's best for me in this situation? Maybe I should just go my own way. When David thought about situations like this, his answer was always, God's way is the best way. That's why he could say with such assurance, I love you, Lord, my strength. And so the more that we know God's character, the easier it becomes for us to trust his commands. I want you to imagine for just a minute that you're climbing Mount Everest with an experienced Sherpa guide. And the guide says to you, don't take that path, follow me. And now, of course, you have two choices. You can trust the guide, or you could go your own way. A wise climber follows the Sherpa. Why? Because the Sherpa sees what you don't see. And so with God as our guide, we come to understand that God sees what we can't see. God sees the consequences of our actions that we can't foresee. God sees the dangers that we simply just don't recognize. And because he loves us, he guides us. And because we love him, we trust him. And because we trust him, we can obey him. Truth number two is that love creates trust. Trust produces obedience. Truth number three, love cooperates with God's purposes for our lives. That passage from Romans 8 contains one of the most quoted promises in the whole Bible. Paul writes, he says, we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. And I think sometimes a lot of us want to stop right there. It's such a great promise. But then immediately after that, Paul goes on to explain what that good is. He tells us that God's purpose is that as God's people, we're to become like his son. Conformed to the image of his son, as it says in the New International Version. In other words, God's ultimate goal for us isn't simply just to make us comfortable, not to solve our problems. God's ultimate goal is to make us Christ-like. The very fancy seminary word for this process is sanctification. And I really like the way Paul writes about this in Ephesians chapter 4 in the Contemporary English Version. Paul writes about it this way. He says, God's people will be united by our faith and by our understanding of the Son of God. Then we will be mature, just as Christ is. And we will be completely like him. Everything that God does in our lives serves that purpose. Every blessing we receive, every challenge that we face, every disappointment that comes into our life, every victory that we have, everything that God is doing is shaping us into the likeness of Jesus. And when you think about it, what is the one defining characteristic of Jesus? Perfect obedience. In John's gospel, Jesus said, I always do what pleases the Father. And we think about Jesus' obedience wasn't mechanical, it was relational. It flowed from that perfect love and trust that he had with the Father. And we think about that trust and obedience took Jesus all the way to the cross. As God transforms us into Christ's image, he's developing that same loving obedience in us. And so we come to understand that the Christian life it's not just about behavior modification, it's about heart transformation. God's in the process of changing us from the inside out. And the more we love Christ, the more naturally we begin to desire what he desires. The more closely that we walk with him, the more for us obedience can just become a joyful response rather than some kind of a reluctant requirement. And as we read through those passages in John 14, Jesus gives kind of the ultimate word on obedience, just the final word, right? He repeats it several times. If you love me, keep my commands. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. In these passages, Jesus is teaching us that obedience really is evidence of love. It's not perfection. It's not some kind of flawless performance. It's not legalistic rule keeping. It's just a genuine desire to follow Jesus. And to get this as a picture, imagine a husband who says to his wife, I love you, but then consistently ignores her, disregards her concerns, refuses to honor his commitments to her. Eventually, those I love you words lose all credibility. Love reveals itself through positive actions. And I would tell you that this same principle applies to our relationship with Christ. Our obedience doesn't create his love for us. I mean, his love was demonstrated for us on the cross long before we ever thought of obeying. But our obedience demonstrates that his love has taken root in our hearts. And then Jesus, in this passage, he gives us that wonderful promise. He promises us the Holy Spirit. What this means is that we're not left to obey solely on our own strength or on our own ability. This is so important for us to grasp. God never commands us to do something and then just abandons us so that we have to figure it out all on our own. He gives us his Spirit. His Spirit lives within us. The Spirit teaches us. The Spirit guides us. It's the Spirit that empowers us to live the way God calls us to live. And so for us, the Christian life isn't about trying harder. It's really about trusting deeper. So let me close with this. Daniel reminds us that love leads us back to God after we've wandered away. The love that Daniel talks about encourages us to confess and to repent and to move away from our wrongdoing. David reminds us that love helps us trust God's perfect ways. Paul wants us to remember that love cooperates with God's transforming power, that by the power of the Spirit and for the love that we show, that we're being shaped into the image of Christ. And then finally, Jesus reminds us that obedience is just the natural expression of our love for him. And so let me just ask you a question. When you think about obedience to God, what comes to mind? A stern God with a clipboard waiting for you to mess up so you can be punished? When you think of obedience, do you think of rules or restrictions or obligations that you have? Or do you think about relationship? Because the truth is this, when you love someone deeply, serving them is no longer drudgery. Listening to them isn't bondage, and honoring them isn't slavery. It's a joy. And when we truly understand how much God has loved us first, especially by sending Jesus to do for us what we could never do for ourselves, obedience ceases to be a chain around our ankles. It becomes a song in our hearts. We obey not because we have to. We obey because we love him. We obey because he loved us first. And we obey because every step along the way brings us closer to being the people that God created us to be. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commands. Obey is no longer a word that makes our minds slam shut. It's not a burden. It's not a condition to be met in order for God to love us. But it's just this natural expression of a heart that loves God. Amen.